The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay. You're tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. This is Dr. Patty. And today we're going to be talking about a very serious subject that is far more serious than a lot of people even know, and that is cyberbullying. There's been some about it in the news. In 2013, there was a 12-year-old girl that jumped to her death after being bullied for a year by a 12-year-old and 14-year-old girl. And they were horrendously cruel to this child, and she finally said she couldn't take it anymore and jumped to her death. So, and that, I'd like to tell you that that's a super unusual reaction, but I'm seeing more and more of it in my practice and hearing more about it from friends and parents and stuff like that, and it just has me very concerned. And I hit a peak of concern this week when my 15-year-old granddaughter and I started having a talk about cyberbullying, and she's cyberbullied a lot, and she said it's very common. It's not even thought of as unusual. Kids do it to each other constantly. She said she doesn't get much of it anymore because she stopped posting pictures or thoughts or anything like that on Instagram and Snapchat and all that. She was taken off of Snapchat because we felt it was dangerous. But she was on Instagram, and if you post a picture of yourself, you might get 20 or 30 people saying, oh, how cute, great outfit, you look great, wonderful, lovely, compliments. And then there'll be one or two people that'll say something derogatory and nasty. And she and I talked about how those are the ones that kids focus on. I said, do you remember all the good compliments, or do you remember the one who said something derogatory? And she said, the bad ones stick in your head, and then you ruminate on them and you think about them. We call that looping. You loop on it. And what that looping does is it brings down your self-esteem and your self-confidence, and it makes you question yourself. Now, go back to when we were 15. You know, if you're a kid listening to this, what I'm trying to tell you is adults, when they go back to their high school years, a lot of us say, I wouldn't repeat those years if you paid me. They can be torturous and difficult. They're fraught with self-doubt and wondering if we're good enough and constantly questioning ourselves. And then if somebody puts us down or tells us that our shoes are ugly or our hair looks funny or you're fat and ugly or you're something, those are the things that stick in your head. And it further demeans that fragile self-esteem that young teenagers often have. So here's the difference between a long time ago when kids would get bullied. There'd be one or two kids that kind of ran in packs, and they'd be the mean kids and the bullies, and they'd say cruel things. But they were often the exception, not the rule. And as times have changed, I guess that's the best way to say it, and so much is done electronically now, it isn't like the bully walks down the school passageway and says something mean, and you think about it, and it's horrible, but then you go home. What happens with the electronic world today is they have 24/7 access to kids. So a lot of our kids are being bullied in the middle of the night. They'll open up their phone, and there can be some horrid stuff waiting for them. And so in today's show, what I want to talk to you about is, what is cyberbullying, and what is just bullying in general, and how do you know if it's starting to happen to your kids? Because here's the thing that I'm seeing in my practice. When kids are being bullied or mistreated or targeted online, they often don't say a word to their parents. I'm letting that sink in. You know, a lot of parents would go, well, she would tell me, or he would tell me if that was happening to him. No, the reason kids don't say anything to their parents is because what's the first thing parents say? Well, I don't want you on Snapchat anymore. I don't want you on Instagram anymore. We're getting rid of your Facebook. We're going to limit your phone usage. And that's not what the kids want to hear. They want it to stop, but they also instinctively know that their parents can't make it stop. And the only way to be really safe from it is to get off all the electronic devices. Almost every kid I know, in fact, I can't think of one who doesn't, lives with that smartphone in their hands. It is their lifeline to each other, to their social world, to not being bored, to feeling connected, to watching YouTube videos or Snapchat and TikTok videos and things like that. It is their lifeline. And kids are definitely paranoid that their parents are going to take that away from them. So they don't say anything. Now, a couple parents I know, and I'm proud to say my adult children are like this, they will shadow their kids' phones and they tell them, you know, I'm watching what's going on in your phone. So you talk to your friends, you have a good time, but if it gets out of hand or if you're doing it 2 a.m. or bad things are happening, I'm going to see it and I'm going to step in. And I think in some ways that gives kids a little bit of security. I know some of them would feel like their privacy is violated, but it keeps kids from doing some of the idiotic stuff that kids do on phones these days. For example, if you're watching your 15-year-old's telephone, are they going to be sexting pictures to a boyfriend? I don't think so. Are they going to be bullying some other friend and be mean if their mom's going to step in and say, hey, what you were saying to your friend was inappropriate? And I'm not talking about doing it subversively. I'm talking about your kids know, my parents look at my phone. Now, you can pick up your kid's phone every once in a while, and you can say to them, I have all your passwords, I can look at what's happening, I can watch. But in this busy world, how often do you actually pick up your kid's phone and look at everything? And then, gosh, it would take an hour to go through all the stuff that they do. Look at their email, look at the texts and the TikTok videos, and what have they been searching, and all of this kind of stuff. If your phone mirrors theirs, and you see everything they post or do, then when you're looking at your phone, because they tend to be our electronic leashes as well, then you can see what your teenager's doing. But that's just a possibility for adding some protection. But what I want everybody to get is the extent of cyberbullying is far more than we even knew. It is almost daily for most of the kids. When my granddaughter Allie and I talked about this, I said, how many of your friends get bullied? And she said, oh, most of them. I think all of them. And I said, how often do you guys talk about this? She said, all the time. She said, we're at school going, oh, so-and-so was so mean to me online last night. And someone was really rude, and they were saying bad things about so-and-so. And it becomes the gossip net, the put everybody down. And it's very hard, very difficult. Now, there are some good things that happen. Are kids ever kind to each other and uplift each other? Certainly. And there are kids that are very, very nice and kind to each other. And there are groups of kids that get a lot of power and a lot of mileage out of being the ones to be sharp, sarcastic, negative, mean, and derogatory, and try to lift themselves up by putting others down. So it's a different world out there, folks. It isn't as simple as when we were in high school and there was a bully and a lot of kids could, you know, take care of it. It doesn't happen that way now. It's very covert and happens on a level that a lot of adults don't even begin to see. So during this show, I want to leave you with knowing what cyberbullying is, knowing how dangerous it can be and what it can do to your grandkids and to your kids. And we're also going to talk about the adult cyberbullying that happens, like some of the negative derogatory stuff that happens on Facebook or some of the more adult social media things. Okay, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about cyberbullying. Be back in a minute.
Reading is already heating up. Book your travel now to the Pacific Northwest with Alaska Airlines and enjoy daily nonstop service from Reading to Seattle. You can enjoy a cool weekend in Seattle or connect with Alaska Airlines to anywhere in the world with the One World Alliance. Dreaming about that Alaskan cruise? Fly direct and sail away. At Alaska Air, they care a lot. Check out great places to travel and book your next trip now at alaskaair.com/Reading.
Remember us, the Tula Kid? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I.
No, you don't.
Hey, kids, we're working here. Give us a call, and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH, that's 241-3474, or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. You're listening to the beautiful Native American flute music of Randy McGinnis. Cherokee native. He speaks fluent Cherokee. He's just an amazing, amazing musician. You can go to his website, randymcginnis.com, and he's got 6 CDs. All of them are different, and they're beautiful and relaxing and just can change your whole feeling inside. Thank you, Randy, for allowing us to use your music on this show. We appreciate it. Okay, we're talking about cyberbullies. Why do people bully? What is it that people want? Because bullying is based on what people are seeking. And there are 4 things that really motivate people a lot. Those are money, power, image, like self-image, and love. So if we look at those 4 really big motivating factors for people, what are cyberbullies looking for? Are they looking for money? Not usually. They're not trying to get money out of people or get them to sign up for something. Are they looking for power? A lot of people that bully others feel more powerful. And the reason they tend to feel more powerful is they feel less weak. Cyberbullies would not be happy people. They would be kind and loving people. They would be weak, insecure people that are looking for more power. They're looking to enhance their image, their own image. So they're looking for, sometimes for teenagers, they're thinking, this is cool, or I look like I've got a great sense of humor and this is funny because I'm making all my friends that I'm showing this to laugh. So they're looking for image and power. They're often looking to fit in, which would fit into that I'm looking for love category. They're not necessarily hoping to get a relationship out of cyberbullying someone else from the people that are admiring their bullying, but they're looking to fit in and be accepted, to feel the love of other people. So the motivations to bully others are often very negative and insecure motivations. Now, let's look at some other part. Cyberbullying, like any kind of bullying, is often a group thing. It's often a mob mentality. How often do we see one person all by themselves bullying someone else? Not very often. The bully walking down the halls at school bullying other kids often has two or three friends that he's showing off in front of. And it's often a he, but not always. There are definitely female cyberbullies and girl bullies. The thing that we always used to call them was the mean girls. But it's often in a mob sort of mentality, not one person alone. So they're trying to show off for each other and to fit in and to feel socially accepted. But that's just some of the whys of people bully. From the perspective that I want to do today is I want parents to begin to be more alert that cyberbullying is happening on almost a daily basis to most of our teenagers. It leaves silent victims who don't know how to ask for help or are afraid to ask for help for fear of getting their electronics taken away or for fear of being ostracized anymore from being some kind of snitch or telling the teachers or the principal or something like that. So you have to look at there's different levels of bullying. There's kind of a personal level where kids get bullied about their age or their gender or their personality. About their social status, you know, are they a loner, are they a nerd, are they weird? Sometimes politically, if they don't fit in with a group that's a bullying group from one political persuasion and they know someone else is a different political persuasion, they may bully them for that. There's bullying about family. You know, what family do you come from? What's your family like? Are they rich? Are they poor? Are they something that you can pick on someone's family. Kids get often bullied at school about school things, that they're a math nerd, or they're super genius, or they're really dumb, or they fail tests, or they call them names about their intelligence. And then there's social bullying, where a kid's a loner or very introverted and shy, not very popular, and they can get pushed around even more. They get seen as weak, and so the strong, powerful, looking for more power bullies can take advantage of that. So we all know that when we see overt bullying, somebody being mean, or the movies that always show the bully, but what you have to recognize is cyberbullying can be extremely subtle. It can be as simple as your teenager posts a picture of their new outfit and 20 people say something good and one person says, God, that makes you look fat. And all of a sudden she's crushed. Or one case I heard of just recently in my office was these boys were teasing this other boy. And they were like junior seniors in high school. They were teasing another boy that he was going to never have a girlfriend. He was going to die a virgin. He was never going to have, he was always going to be friend zoned by all the girls. And what they did is they instinctively took that kid's deepest fear that no one was ever going to want to love him in a relationship. And they beat him up with it constantly. And they'd send him memes that, you know, little cartoons and stuff that would put him down, and they thought they were being hysterical, and they'd tease him a lot. Well, this kid, it really just undermined his self-esteem. He felt horrible. He didn't fit in. He pulled in, got more anxious, more depressed, became more of a loner, started leaving school at lunchtime, even though he was going to get in trouble for leaving campus. He didn't care. He was just, and his grades started going down. And it was because this group of boys who thought they were being funny and would probably have said, well, we were just joking, didn't know how they were crushing him. And here's the interesting thing. If that had only been the bullying at school, and then the kid had gone home and been able to put it behind him for the night, that would have been great. But the bullying continued online, often late into the night, sometimes all night long, and he couldn't open his phone or look at his social media stuff without being faced with some of this horrible stuff. And it tore him up. So finally, his parents saw the anxiety and the depression and all of this and ended up bringing him into my office to talk about depression. He wasn't even there to talk about cyberbullying or being bullied. And it took quite a while for him to actually speak up and say, well, nobody likes me. And I said, how do you know? And he starts going off on all the things that they wrote to him. It was really sad. And so the therapeutic approach that I used for it was to try and build his resiliency. And when a kid's so torn down that they're practically suicidal, trying to build resiliency, like parents that flip off things like, oh, just ignore it, or, you know what, kids are mean, just don't engage with that, just leave it alone. That means, I know you mean well, but it's way harder for kids to do that than you think. So that's why it's really important that you start to listen to what I'm talking about. And even at the end of this show, when it becomes a podcast, sitting down with your teenager and listening to this and say, hey, is anybody bullying you? I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to take your phone away. I want to make sure that you're okay. And start there, because that's really important. The other thing that happens with cyberbullying is something called doxing. Doxing is where someone takes private documents and posts it online, like somebody's address or their phone number or their email or their social media account, where people are encouraging other people to harm this person. And so sometimes with cyberbullying, this doxing can happen. Kids can say, here, this girl's mean and nasty and she's a horrible person and we want to make sure she pays for it. So they'll put out her social media account so that other people join in the cyberbullying. And sometimes they think they're teaching someone a lesson, and often it's just they're joining in the cyberbullying. So know that this thing can take on a life of its own, and it can build and build and build to where it's happening from kids that your child doesn't even know. It's important. So you've got to be aware of what your children are going through and not blow it off like just ignore it or, you know, kids are mean, because it can be so much more than that. One of the biggest worries I have about cyberbullying is it has become commonplace for kids to tell other kids to kill themselves. They will even suggest ways and throw it out there and say, you need to just die and you don't belong on the face of this earth. And they go to great depths to tell somebody else that they are worthless. And if you beat down somebody enough with that, and you've already got a teenager who, just by the nature of being a teenager, has insecurities and self-doubt, and then when you start saying things to them like, you should just die, and this is how you should kill yourself, and pushing on them, and a lot of people are pushing on them, the kids start to pull that into their psyche. Now, what's interesting to me is a lot of parents would say to me, oh, my child would never do that, or my child's smart enough to know that those are just mean kids. It rips even some of the strongest kids to have people telling them that they're bad and they're worthless and they don't deserve to be alive. And I'd like to tell you that this is only happening with teenagers, but it's also happening across the board with everybody. A lot, I'd say more in the younger generations, you know, the 20 to 30 year olds, and then the teenagers a lot. But I hear of adults saying that they get all these nasty comments on Facebook. They'll post something, especially if they post some political view or some, you know, possibly controversial topic. They won't just get a nice debate going or people talking about their opinions. They also can be called horrible and nasty names and put down in a really tragic sort of way. So it isn't just kids. It's the idea that others are going to tell you what they think, that they're certain they're right, and they're going to tell you who you are and how you should believe about yourself. That's cyberbullying. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some more. By the end of the show, I want to leave you with some ways to help yourself or help some kids that are going through this. Be back in a minute.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Shasta County, are you ready for something real special? Mary's Pizza Shack has some changes. We're now Charlie's Tap House, and a tap house rule number one is come in for the homemade pizzas, pastas, and other house-made specialties, and stay for the beer wall.
Mary's Pizza Shack is now Charlie's Tap House, pizza, pasta, grill. Same family owners and same homemade recipes. Plus, a few more you'll want to try for yourself. Friday nights, try our special hand-cut prime rib for just $28 with all the fixings. And all week, you can enjoy surf and turf or salmon and polenta.
Don't miss Shasta County's premier tap beer wall with your favorite beers on demand that you can order by the ounce. Try our new house beer collaboration with Woody's Brewing, Flippin' Hazy. Your taste buds will thank you. And when you sign up for our Tap House Rewards program, you'll automatically get $5 off towards your next order. Remember, our vibe is casual. The atmosphere is social.
Order online at charlews.com. That's charlews.com.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we're talking about cyberbullying. This is just a really tragic subject, not just because kids have killed themselves over being cyberbullied, but because how much it is happening in our schools and to people that we know, whether they're kids or not, it almost doesn't matter. The other piece that I see is that cyberbullying can happen anonymously, and it can happen in the quiet of night. And these keyboard heroes can type something out, leave something horrible, and then disappear. Often under, their social media names that don't relate back to who they really are. You often don't know who these people are. And they're just cruel and abusive statements. When you look at a thread of somebody posting some kind of TikTok video or, you know, something that they're trying to put out there for attention or for other people's entertainment, there will be so many comments, and many of them are cruel and mean and horrid. And it just really begs the question, why? Why? There is a mentality in today's society that if I think something, I can say it. And if I have an opinion, I can blurt it out. And it comes with this attitude of not only can I state what I think and what I feel, but I'm going to state it as though I'm absolutely certain that I'm right. So when somebody says something mean to another person, they say it with a sense of authority that is demeaning and hurtful and really stabbing. So now let's go back to teenagers who really have kind of fragile psyches to begin with sometimes because they're just developing who they are. And so someone puts them down or calls them fat and ugly or says they're stupid or tells them they should die. These kids are wounded by that because their resiliency is not really high yet. And that's one of the therapeutic aspects of it is you have to look at how they were wounded and in what way they were wounded. Like some kids, you could call them fat and ugly, and that isn't going to resonate with them because they don't worry about that. But some teenage girl, whether she is overweight or not, that might be her Achilles heel, her area of vulnerability. And calling her fat and ugly might wound her horribly and throw her into an eating disorder or really, really damage her self-esteem. So it just depends on where the person's weakness is. And so from a therapeutic standpoint, that's sometimes what I'm looking for. When I have someone in my office who's very damaged by bullying or negative comments or hurtful things that are done or said to them, I'm always looking for why is that a vulnerable area for this person and why does that attack work on them? And it's an important insight into what's going on with them. And it's an even more important insight in how to build their resiliency. Because if body image is their vulnerability, we need to look at why is their body image a difficult aspect for them? And how can we build that up so that they have a stronger sense of self in that arena? And good therapy will do that. You're not just going, oh, and how do you feel about that? And talk to me about that. Oh, that must have been hurtful. No, we got to look at the core issue behind why that wounds you and what needs to be done to build that up for strength. And the biggest problem with teenagers is they're often vulnerable in many areas and their self-esteem is pretty fragile. So on top of that, they have raging hormones and they're trying to find out who they are, and they don't really know what they're going to do with their life. And many of them have difficult home lives. There's more that goes on behind closed doors in families than most people know. So now we take these kind of vulnerable, scared kids, and then there's people telling them they're not good enough and that they don't have a reason to be on this planet. And it really cuts them to the core. So what do the kids do about it? Who do they talk to? Sometimes they'll talk to their other friends who will then say, yeah, that person is mean, they're mean to me too. Or, wow, that person shouldn't be saying those things. But what's the recourse? What can you do about it? Even turning it into Facebook and asking them to take care of this person or blocking them or getting off social media altogether or disengaging from those friends online has a limited ability to protect. It's sometimes when I think about our childhoods where we had phones that were connected to the wall and TV that was only on for a couple hours at night because there was nothing really to watch. And we were outside all the time and we weren't connected to anything electronic. It was a simpler time of life. And we actually had face-to-face conversations. Now, was there bullying? Sure, there was bullying. There are always mean people in the world sometimes. But they didn't have access to people 24/7. And that's where the damaging things have escalated to a point where many kids can't handle the onslaught of the negativity. One of the other things that happens with cyberbullying that a lot of parents don't know about, I don't talk about, is what happens when teenagers today are sexting with each other. For those of you that don't know what sexting is, that's where kids in a relationship, even a semi-online relationship, and maybe they've never even met in person, where they start doing sexual things online. And either sometimes it's just talking about it, sometimes it has to do with porn, but it often has to do with sending pictures back and forth. Naked pictures, sexual pictures. And then what can become really, really damaging is when they break up or when there's a fight, often, it's not always the boy. I'm thinking of a couple times when it was the girl. They start sending those pictures out to everybody. And they're usually with very damning remarks of negativity and horridness and putting each other down. But those sexting pictures can go everywhere. I've had several girls in my office suicidal at different times because after breaking up with a boy, he sent the naked pictures to everybody in the school. It went through the high school like wildfire because he sent it to 100 people who sent it to 100 people who sent it to 100 people. And this girl showed up in school and everybody had pictures of her on their phone. And she was suicidal over it. It was a very, very horrid experience for her. So parents need to know that this happens, and you have to deal with it. Like, you can't just go to your kids and go, if I ever find out that you've sent a naked picture to somebody, your phone is gone. No, you've got to sit your teenagers down and say, look, there's this thing called sexting. And they'll go, Mom, I don't want to talk about that. Or, Dad, oh my gosh. But you've got to say, look, there's a lot of kids that think that's cool while they're in love with somebody at the moment, but it can often turn very bad. And those pictures can get around everywhere, and it's extremely embarrassing, and it can really wreck your life. So I don't want you to engage in that kind of activity because it's not safe if the relationship goes south. And so it's like wise counsel from somebody who's saying, look, I don't want you to get hurt by this, as opposed to putting your foot down, being the parent going, I can't believe you'd do something that horrible. See, it's a tough world out there with these kids now. Having a anti-sexting talk with your 15-year-old or your 16-year-old, that's not an easy conversation. It's complicated, isn't it? So I hope I'm impressing on you that this is far deeper and far more damaging and difficult than we even knew. The fact that it's happening anonymously all night long, often from people that kids don't even know, or young adults don't even know, from just random people online who are looking to be smartass or powerful or looked at as so witty and intelligent. It's a dangerous world out there for this. And one of the biggest dangers of cyberbullying is the anxiety and the depression and the suicidal ideation that forms in these kids that are desperately trying to handle the horridness of these onslaughts. And I want you to remember that self-harm, cutting and things like that, I count those as kind of a suicidal ideation. The person would tell you, I'm not going to kill myself, I'm not suicidal, but that issue of I can't take this anymore and I'm going to hurt myself is just a tad toward suicidal ideation. And I think it is something that is very important for parents to take seriously and make sure their child gets some help. Because if they're doing that, there's some pretty difficult things going on in their psyche that they're not able to handle. And it's extremely difficult for them. So the things you really need to watch for when kids are online, or just your kids in general, you're looking for depression and anxiety. Sometimes it's sleeping too much. Sometimes it's not sleeping enough. One of the things with cyberbullying is kids tend to obsessively check their phone with kind of an anxious look on their face. And that's hard to read because they obsessively check their phones anyway. But they'll be looking for more comments or more support from their friends who they've asked to help, or trying to see if it's going away. But they're drawn to the negativity in their attempt to understand it or control it. Sometimes they will go into school avoidance. They'll do the typical, I don't feel good, I don't want to go to school, I hate school. They'll be really upset about what they're wearing and change a million times. But then again, teenagers can do, we can do that. Hey, I've done that before. People can do that when they're worrying about what they're wearing. But school avoidance with that, what's wrong? You used to like school. And why don't you want to go anymore? They can be angry and upset. They can be socially avoidant and not want to go where their friends are, or not feel welcome, or say things like, nobody likes me, nobody invited me, I don't want to go. an example the other day where a girl said she was standing around with her friends and a couple of them started talking about going to the movies. And she said, oh, that'd be fun, because she thought they were inviting her. And they looked at her and they said, no, we're going to go by ourselves. And they said it in that kind of mean girl tone, according to that's what she felt. And she has felt so ostracized and thrown aside, and it was very embarrassing to her, and it wounded her terribly. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, I want to give you some ideas for how to help with this cyberbullying issue. We'll be back in a minute.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month, starting at 8 a.m., for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
The Red Bluff Roundup is on April 15th, 16th, and 17th. Get your tickets now. $250,000 is up for grabs for 600 of the toughest cowboys and cowgirls. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now, so grab the good seats while you can. It's consistent action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, wild pony riding, and more. Friday is family night, brought to you by Food Max and Outback Contractors. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7, and an after party with live music. Saturday brought to you by Sierra Pacific Windows and Red Bluff Dock. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30, and an evening concert by country music star Chancey Williams.
I've been living on rodeo, cold beer, and don't go from Vegas.
And Sunday is Haleakala and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital, tough enough to wear pink day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Red Bluff office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we're talking about bullying and cyberbullying. And it's just a very sad subject, and it makes my heart break for these kids that just get so hammered by it. So one of the things that I've heard about and read about, and I thought it was pretty cool, and I wanted to pass it along. It could be a home thing that parents do with their kids, but I think where it would be really powerful is if you're a teacher listening to this. Teachers can do this in the school. There's a movie that came out in 2011 called Cyberbully, and it does a really good job of depicting cyberbullying of this young girl in high school and how it just made her go from not doing what I mean, being pretty confident and having friends and all this to just really cascading down into depression and all that. But they have made a whole teacher's package for this movie that has discussion boards and worksheets and helps bring kids on board with how did you feel about this and what did you think when this happened and do you know anybody that goes through this, and it can get kids talking about it. And if a school really is saying we don't tolerate bullying at all, and we have anti-bullying programs. I think schools really need to expand that into anti-cyber bullying and get kids talking about it. And when there is cyber bullying, what can you do? How can you help? And it would be great if schools could form anti-bullying support groups where kids can go and meet with maybe a school counselor that does this once a week, and you can go in and talk about bullying that's happening in the school and bullying that might be happening to you online. Because a responsible adult there who can say, who can see somebody cascading down or reaching out for help and is afraid to speak out loud about it, they can intervene or have the opportunity to possibly intervene before there's some kind of tragedy that hits. But there has to be a safe place for kids to talk about this. And to many kids, it's not their parents. So parents, you have to make it safe for them to come to you when they are feeling badly about anything. And that you're not going to overreact, or you're not going to fix it for them right then. You're not going to go and, you know, make heads roll somewhere. Kids have to be able to say, can I talk to you about this? And not have you overreact. So the place where cyberbullying is going to stop is when it becomes uncool and kids at school are saying, if any of my friends are being cyberbullied, then we need to know so that we can help block that for you. And we can keep an eye on when you post a picture. If somebody says something mean, we can say, that's mean, don't do that. It's so invasive and so all over the place that it's hard to be on top of it. So the other thing that I really like is when parents have a very close eye on their teenagers' phones. And boy, do they hate that. The kids that hear me say that are going to go, thanks a lot, Dr. Patty. They don't want their parents seeing what they write, because they write, for starters, the kids drop the F-bomb far more than parents really even know. Now, there's some kids that drop the F-bomb all the time around their parents, but there are kids that it's in five times in every sentence, and when you read their text and the stuff they write, it blows you out of the water. So they don't want their parents reading that stuff. But if they knew that you were mirroring their phones, and you can say, look, I don't care if you're laughing and talking with your friends. I don't care if you say things sometimes that would make me go, what'd you say that for? I'm not going to engage with any of that. I just want to make sure you're safe and that nobody's bullying you or harming you and that no one's stalking you. I want to make sure that what's going on between you and your electronic world is safe and that you're not being harmed. This child that killed herself, who was 12 years old and was bullied unmercifully by a 12 and 14-year-old who have been charged with third-degree murder, by the way, in the state of Florida, because they were so incredibly caustic, and it's all online. There's evidence of all of it. But this child, her mom did not even know what was happening. She never said anything. The mom didn't know that something was going on, and the girl didn't reach out for any help. The mom didn't know that this was happening until after her child committed suicide. So don't assume that you're going to see a change or see something different. And take it this way. I mean, I look how often a teenage child, you know, girl or boy, is going to go from the on top of the world, everything's wonderful, I have friends, I'm happy, to down in the dumps, depressed, nobody likes me, I'm horrible, I'm ugly, I'm stupid. Kids can do that so fast. They ride that roller coaster. And then if your child has mood disorders anyway, that roller coaster can be even bigger and deeper. Now we add something happening. It's easy to miss it when they're going, everybody hates me. And they can do that a lot. So at times we don't want to say, well, what makes you think that? Talk to me about it. Is somebody hurting you? Because they could blow up one tiny little comment. It's a weird world, isn't it? You're trying to balance listening, being aware, noticing, with, are you doing the teenage drama thing? And it's hard for me to even engage with that and listen to it. But talk to your kids about cyberbullies. And don't be surprised if they say, oh yeah, happens every day online. Do you see people say mean things on your posts and on your social media? They'll go, oh yeah, horrible mean things. I guarantee you they'll say that. Do people ever say mean things to you? Oh, sometimes, but I just ignore them. Listen to the resiliency. Or, yeah, I don't post pictures anymore because every time I do, people say really bad things, and then I feel really bad, so I don't post pictures anymore. Insight. Listen to the difference. What we're looking for with our kids is what is happening in their lives and how resilient do they feel. And by resilient, I mean how much can they take some of this negativity and still bounce back and still stand on their feet and look at the other person and think, you're just being mean. You don't know who I am, and what you're saying about me isn't true, and you're just being mean. Why would you be mean? That is resiliency. When a child or anybody, even an adult, says, oh, could that be true? Am I an idiot? Am I fat and ugly? Oh, does my hair look really that bad? That's not having resiliency. That's being vulnerable and starting to question self. That lowering of self-esteem and the questioning of self is a downward spiraling cycle. As you downward spiral, anxiety goes up, depression gets worse, it's hard to pull up some energy, the fun and the happiness in life tends to go away because you just don't want to do it anymore. Keep going down with that, and we get into suicidal ideation and some really bad things. When people are trying not to feel, they do the things like drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, sex, shopping, gambling, porn, all these kind of things to try and distract themselves from feeling badly. Those unhealthy coping mechanisms can lead to more anxiety, more depression. So I'm hoping today that what you're seeing is that cyberbullying is huge and extremely destructive to people of all ages. It is especially dangerous and destructive to teenagers. They have fragile egos to begin with because they're trying to figure out who they are. And the meanness, the horridness of the meanness can just rip them and make it very difficult for them to cope. So open up the topic of cyberbullying at your kitchen table. Hopefully you guys have family dinners and sit down. Open the topic up. Watch that movie together called Cyberbully, done in 2011. You can get it on Prime. Netflix doesn't have it. And then encourage your schools to have some support groups. An English teacher making a writing project out of the movie, watching the movie with the class, talking about it openly, and a writing project. Even a writing project, a cyberbullying incident that's happened to you. And if a kid comes up and says, well, I've never had one, then say, have you heard about a friend? Well, yeah. Then write about what you've heard about. It will be an insight into the soul of your students and a possible insight into somebody who's being really harmed online. It's a new world out there, people, and we've got to rise up to keeping people safe. So I hope this makes sense to you about cyberbullying, and I hope if you're being cyberbullied and you need some help, go talk to one of your teachers, your school counselor, confide in your parents, go to a friend, and get some help for it, because we don't want to lose somebody just because someone else was being mean. All right, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and you've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell, where I just want to help heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.